You're back with the Attack, Bob Black, Joe Spano. We're joined right now by David Ortiz, slugger extraordinaire for the Boston Red Sox, who joins us here on the Attack. Good morning, David. Nice to have you on board. Bob Black, Joe Spano, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
That's nice to have you on board. Love for dogs and a campaign that you're launching with Pedigree. Talk about that a little bit for us, please.
Yeah, we have Pedigree have this campaign named See What Good Food Can Do for dogs, and you know, we've been promoting that at the end of last year, and today is just the beginning of the building shelters and rehabbing shelters and make sure that everything is going well down there, and Pedigree want to be part of it. And you know, when if people want to get more information about it, they can go to facebook.com/pedigree and get to know all the info about this beautiful campaign that we got going on.
And you had a very unique way to go about it. You actually made a documentary film, and it appeared at Sundance, the biggest film festival in the world, next to Cannes. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that people get the message of how important it is to take care of dogs. And I'm a dog lover. I'm a guy that I have a few dogs myself, and you know, they're part of the family. They are like your kids, and we're just trying to teach people how to do the right thing when it comes down to that.
Well, David, I'm a dog lover as well. I have two of my own, so yeah, they're a big part of my life. I want to jump on the baseball field, and before we jump to the modern day and right now Boston Red Sox, I want to go down memory lane with you a little bit, and I want to ask this because anytime I have a professional athlete on, I really like to get in their head and kind of, you know, see what drives them a little bit. Your career started out with the Minnesota Twins and were kind of a journeyman and couldn't quite break through into their starting lineup. You then go to the Boston Red Sox and the rest is kind of history. So tell me a little bit about where the Twins missed the mark and why a team starved for offense like they were when you there couldn't find a way to get in the lineup every day and exploit the clear talent that you have as you're on your way to a Hall of Fame career.
Well, when I was with the Twins, you know, we were like pretty much, I don't know if you guys remember that we have 14 rookies 1 year, and it was kind of the developing players kind of type of team at the time. It was more of a you play here today, tomorrow know what's gonna happen, you know, that kind of type of thing. They don't know who's gonna be anyone's role at the time, I'm pretty sure. And it was a lot of ups and downs, and I guess there's a lot of young teams that pretty much go by the business like that still in today's day, but that was the whole situation down there. And pretty much when I got here to Boston, I had one role. I know I was going to be in the lineup at some point every day, and your mentality is totally different. You got to get prepared for that.
And I guess that's the big thing. With Major League Baseball players, it's consistency. Knowing your role every day, knowing you're going to be in the lineup, getting yanked in and out of the lineup, playing 2 days, being off for 2 days, playing 1 day, being off for 3 days, that's not a way to kind of, you know, build up your confidence, and number one. And number two, gain your continuity and learn how to become a major leaguer. I guess that would be a fair statement, yes?
Definitely. That have a lot to do, especially this guy. Everybody has a different role in baseball, and there's guy like myself, I got to play every day for you to see the result towards the end of the season. There's like some of the guys that they only can be utility. Their body won't hold on to being playing out there every day. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different role, and an organization knows it.
You know, it's interesting, David, with the marathon bombing, and Boston's always had a very weird relationship between the city and its athletes. Some are embraced, some aren't. Your speech at the game following the marathon bombing really bonded you permanently with that city. The profanity was criticized by some. I thought you were speaking from the heart. Talk about what that did for you and how people now relate to you as far as not only the athlete, but the person within the city of Boston.
Well, you know, at the time when the bombing went down, you know, you just not only qualified to be an athlete, you are a citizen too. So when it comes down to that, I pretty much was struggling just like everyone else, you know, just living into that moment, the city that you are living into, and in the beautiful history that the marathon has through the years, and people picking up that day to do that kind of damage. That was something that was very frustrating. And when it comes down to, that speech, I pretty much expressed myself how I was feeling at the time. You know, it was something that it was nobody was expecting anything like that to happen, especially when people is trying to raise money for different causes. And you know, it was terrible. It was terrible. It was something that we all experienced, and I was just trying to get things out of my chest at the time.
That's the voice of David Ortiz joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. David, you know, Bob mentioned and we talked about the speech, and he alluded to you as a team leader. Now, within the grind of a 162-game baseball season, which it is a grind, that's the hardest thing about baseball, every day, travel, every day, how important are leaders? Or is it just an element of everybody gets themselves ready and goes out and has to do their job and you come together as a group? Or are leaders important, and do they galvanize teams and allow them to perform at their peak efficiency?
Well, when it comes down to a leader, you know, we have young guys around that they kind of give you that close-up every day just to see how you deal with it so they can learn. You know, and it's a long baseball season. The traveling, like you say, is big-time part of the beatdown. You know, when like the other day we played Seattle night game over there, and then we had to travel. We spent the whole night traveling. We got to New York around 9:30 in the morning. You know, those are the hardest things to do because your body, you know, kind of take that little bit of beat up, and then you got to catch up with things, and next thing you know, you got to be back on the field playing and this and that. But mentality-wise, you know, you get yourself prepared because you know that it's part of the season, and you try to pull your best out of it. And like I say, when it comes down to being a leader, those are the toughest times when you got to step up and show the young kids, you know, how to deal with it, how you can handle it, and how you can pull the best out of it. And quietly, you begin to be a leader, and at the same time, they get to learn.
David, it's been a struggle for the team this year after last year's magical carpet ride. Some of it's been injury. Some of it has been lack of performance, particularly on some of the young players. Can you put your finger on what is really wrong with this team this year, and how do they turn it around on the back end of the season?
Well, we haven't been able to be consistent a whole bunch of different things. Sometimes we pitch well, but we don't hit. Sometimes we hit, but we don't pitch well. Sometimes it's lack of consistency, like you say. But the good thing about the whole situation is that we're getting players back that have been dealing with injuries. We saw Buckles performing the other day. That's big because you know that when he's on, he's pitching good, that gives us the chances to win games. But our major problem right now has been the lack of offense. And I think it'll get better. We're gonna have some guys coming back, and hopefully by the second half we're good to go.
David, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. We really appreciate you spending some time with us talking baseball and also talking the good work that you're doing in conjunction with Pedigree to help dogs. We thank you for a couple of minutes, and you're welcome back on the Spano and Black Attack anytime.
Hey, thank you very much. And remember, when people want to get some information about this, what good food can do, coming from Pedigree, just go to facebook.com/pedigree and get all the information that we are trying to provide. Thank you.
Thanks, David. You have a good one. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye now. That was Big Poppy David Ortiz joining us here on the
nice
Spano
man.
Black Attack. Very nice man.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got into some facets. We got into dogs. Then we got into the team. I wanted to go through his history a little bit.
Yeah.
People don't remember. They look Big Poppy. Big Poppy was basically let go by the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, he was let go. I mean, there was no basically about it. They let him go.
Yeah.
You know,
and he was one of these guys that was just out there, and the Boston Red Sox had it down to targeting, and basically they were targeting some guys to fill out the back end of their roster. It was either like David Ortiz, and there were two other, relatively nondescript guys. They chose David Ortiz.
Yep.
They gave him a role, and kind of the rest is history. And he gave you some insight into that. He said, hey, in Minnesota, it was about me not having a role. I didn't play every day. I'd play a day. I'd get off for 3 days.
I'd play first base, be DH. Yeah, he was all
left
over the
field
place.
At points because he was a younger man then, too. So it was not only inconsistency with where he played on the field, but also getting on the field and getting his at-bats. And he said, I have to play every day.
Well, you know what one of the differences is, too, and that's why I wanted to explore that a little. Manny being Manny is one thing. Ortiz is in the fiber of the city of Boston and always will be.
We'll pick it up on the other side going back to the NBA draft as we wrap it up here on Spano and Black. So be sure to keep it where it is.